Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my husband, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Have you ever been reading and been hit with an epiphany lightning bolt? Well, this week I was, and a long-time life mystery was solved for me. This episode, we're going to look at the labor we put into different parts of our life and how energy is drained from us in different ways, and then review the strategies to re-energize. Here is the mystery I've lived with. Why does physical labor leave me with energy, but being in meetings, presenting, teaching, sitting in committees, and even learning leave me exhausted? When I was in college, I had to take a semester off because I didn't have the money to pay my tuition. So for a semester, I worked from 5 a.m. to 2 p.m. at a golf course. Then I would repair or deliver furniture from 3 to 7, and on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I would bartend and have Sunday evening off. But I'd find myself on Sunday evening with energy. In summer, I would do some physical labor working landscaping or for the city in the parks department, cutting grass. But I still had energy to read, go out, or whatever. When I graduated from college and became a teacher, I went to school by 6:45 in the morning and came home around 5 at night. I was 10 times more tired after a day of teaching than I ever was when I was working two jobs that were physical, and I never understood why. Even now on weekends, I have a ton of energy and can work all day in the yard or cook in the kitchen all afternoon or be in my wood shop. I do on occasion sneak in a 20-minute nap, but it's not because I'm physically exhausted. I just like the break. But here was the epiphany I had the other day. It was a term I had never heard, and like a lightning bolt, the mystery was illuminated right in front of me. I was reading Seth Godin's blog post, and I read the following. It was titled, Emotional Labor. That's the labor most of us do. The work of doing what we don't necessarily feel like doing. The work of being a professional. The work of engaging with others in a way that leads to the best long-term outcome. The emotional labor of listening when we'd rather yell. The emotional labor of working with someone instead of firing them. The emotional labor of seeking out facts and insights that we don't agree with. The emotional labor of being prepared. Of course, it's difficult. That's precisely why it's valuable. Sometimes knowing that it's our job, that we create value, helps us pause a second and decide to do the difficult work. Almost no one gets hired to eat a slice of chocolate cake. Now, I really like Seth, and his assessment of emotional labor made me stop immediately and start to think about why I am so much more tired after a day of teaching and leading compared to when I split wood all day or paint all day. Not that either of those tasks is not meaningful, but the fact that I spend all day expanding emotional energy is taxing. Emotional labor, like being a mason, is a skill, and it's tiring. Every day as a leader, we have to be thinking about our responses, our decisions, our presence. All of the podcasts I've done to this point have talked about having to be buffalo and charging into the storm in order to take on challenges with an obnoxious level of optimism. That takes energy. That is labor intensive, and that is not the path of least resistance. No wonder leading is tiring. It's very labor intensive. All day long, you are making decisions, impacting the lives of those around you, and on top of it, you're not allowed to have a bad day. You can't retreat, and that takes strength, resilience, and an attitude that keeps you moving at a high altitude. Do you get it? I mean, I sound like I just discovered the wheel here, but when you are working in education, healthcare, small businesses, in the corporate world, you have to be thinking. Your mind is moving, and you are emotionally laboring in ways you're not even thinking about. People are expecting a lot from you. When I was a bartender, I loved to have fun with the customers, play great music, and pour drinks that elevated people. However, there were customers that took a lot of energy not to want to throw their drink in their face. That's emotional labor. When I was a salesman and people would come in and question my integrity or motives or be demeaning, or I would think I had a sale and then lose it, that was emotional labor. When I was a teacher and kids didn't behave, were not engaged, or their parents were pressuring me, that was emotional labor. As a leader of schools, nonprofits, and agencies, there are days when all of my emotional labor is being directed to motivate, engage, problem solve, and support the people I serve. And it is emotionally labor intensive. And I'm guessing, as I'm saying this, you are recognizing your emotional labor every day. When I planted trees, they never questioned where I put them. I never had a birch tree say, I'd rather be over by that cedar. When I cut the grass, they never argued that they wanted to grow out their blades. When I painted, the walls have never questioned the color. No emotional labor. Today, however, each of us is going to go out with our bank of energy and begin laboring emotionally in the service of others. Well, how do we then build up for our emotions so that we can increase our strength and have the energy to be in the moment for those we serve and find success and peace in each of our days? Well, just like someone who uses physical labor, we have to take care of ourselves. Each day, a mason maintains their strength by using their muscles and skills to build lasting structures. By the way, they too have to expand emotional labor. But guess what? When you have an emotionally labor-intensive role, you have to practice and fuel your emotional bank so that the labor is a little lighter. Here are three strategies to support your emotional strength. The first one is a proactive strategy. Kill them with kindness and optimism. One of the quickest ways to reduce the amount of emotional labor in your day is to deter those around you from engaging you in a way that would take a lot of that emotional energy. Being positive and setting the tone of a meeting, a lesson, a presentation, by being kind and recognizing others for their contributions can create an environment that will need less emotionally labor-intensive energy. Remember, you're not allowed to have a bad day, and as a result, when you set the tone, you'll receive the energy back that you gave. Listen, you're going to have bad interactions, but if you give the others the authority over your happiness, you also allow them your energy, and that is where you burn emotional energy and make it more labor-intensive for yourself. When you let the other negative moments get to you, you create a mental weight that sometimes you feel, and when that happens, you are emotionally burned, and like a mason building a wall, it doesn't matter how strong you are, there are only so many bricks you can lift at one time. Don't let others rule your mindset. Instead, kill them with kindness. And make yourself that person that people want in the meeting, in front of them, or on their team. They'll want you because you'll bring a new level of energy, and that will not only fuel your emotions, but others as well. The second strategy is simple, and I've talked about this many times before. Reflection. When you find yourself spinning and burning energy emotionally, you have to ask yourself, what is going well? That's right. When all HE double hockey sticks is breaking loose, you got to stop and say, all right, what's actually going well here? I don't know why we are all predisposed to focus on the negative. It is a weird evolutionary trait and must have come from the days when we were all paranoid hunters and gatherers. Don't eat that berry. Stop petting that tiger kind of stuff. But we need to flip our head when we feel ourselves emotionally burning and move to what is going well. Granted, there are moments and situations that you have to bear down and fight through a tough situation. Be the person other people need, and that can be taxing. But afterwards, to take a moment and think about what is going well, well, that will provide you fuel. I can guarantee that you are going to do many more things well in a day and many more things well than you actually think you did. Which leads me to the last one and one that I have to work on. Strategy 3, take a break. When I worked in jobs that involved physical labor, we had a scheduled break every 2 hours, a 15-minute break where we could re-energize by eating, drinking water or soda, resting our body, and disengaging from the work. Why the heck don't we do that with intention? Well, we all believe that a good example of leadership is to work like an idiot at a pace that's insane and set an example to others. And now we can't figure out why so many people are disengaged and frustrated with their bosses and teachers, and people are exhausted by the end of the day. I'll be the first to admit that I'm not good at relaxing. I have a weird voice in my head that makes me feel guilty if I'm sitting still. But I'm going to try it. Daniel Pink in his newest book describes what I just said, that we need to do. that professionals need to take a break, disengage from their work. Yeah, that means don't check email or social media. Sit still and actually do something else or nothing at all. But don't continue to do the work when you're by yourself. Do something that fuels you and re-energizes your emotions, even for 10 minutes. I could have never planted trees for 8 hours solid without hydrating, eating, and resting. That would have caused me to file a formal complaint, a little something called illegal labor conditions. So why do we violate our emotional labor conditions? 3 things. Set the tone in every environment you're in. Reflect on your day to focus your emotions on the positive, and take a break from everything on occasion. It sounds absolutely genius, but it's so common sense that it hurts. So this week and every week after, we have to remember that a leader is anyone who has influence over another person. So lead, darn it. Help build emotional strength for yourself and those you serve by creating those conditions. Create a magnetic pull to you by being kind, caring, and fueling for those around you. Create the conditions that allow for the emotional labor to be a light lift. So let's do some smart thinking. Describe the ways in which you can kill them with kindness this week. Describe the conditions you need to create in order to take the time to reflect. And list ways in which you can provide a break for yourself and disconnect. I'm going to start carrying around one of my books. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for taking the time to listen. And please share this on your social media platform. And remember, support the Well Pennies and go onto their website and pre-purchase their newest album, which will be released on January 25th. They sent me an advance copy, and I can promise you this, you'll dance both slow and fast with those you love. Also, remember, if there's anything I can do for you or those you serve, contact me or any of the great people I serve at cisa6.org. Finally, I read and learn like a nut. I am always looking to grow my leadership as a colleague, a father, a husband, a friend, and a servant. This is my 74th episode of the Smart Thinking Podcast, and next week we will celebrate the journey to 75 together. As we learn and grow together, I encourage you to reach out to me with other ideas, books, resources, videos, or clips from my world-famous TED Talks. I wish. Anyway, be great this week for others by being smart about yourself. Emotional labor is no joke, and how you approach each day matters. Now that I'm thinking more about emotional labor, I'm going to be more purposeful in exercising those strengths that allow me to lead. It is the leadership, after all, that changes you and others, and it is your emotional strength that helps you carry the day for yourself and all those that you serve.
Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me? There's a song arising, just you wait and see. Won't you take